Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
7:15 going up to 77 today, 78 tomorrow. No rain for today, despite the clouds that you're seeing. And then Saturday, cool front moves through Sunday. Saints, Panthers, a little tailgate in action. Highs in the mid-60s and plenty of sunshine. Also, today, this morning, we'll give away some more Bill Burr tickets. You'll enjoy Bill Burr, the tour at the Mahalia Jackson Theater on Thursday, January 9th. All you have to do is listen for one of his comedy routines, and we'll tell you when to call in and win. Some people would say the Democratic debate is a comedy routine. Others would say the impeachment hearings on Capitol Hill, those are nothing but comedy routines. Some would say both are deadly serious. And some would say both are comedy routines. Lara Brown joins us, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University, and our friend. Good morning, Lara.
Good morning, Tommy.
How you?
Well, I'm good. It's, you know, yesterday was a marathon day for anyone who's interested in politics, and it didn't prove, you know, to be boring. I mean, that I can certainly say.
What stood out to you? What was the jaw-dropping moment for you or moments?
Well, I think certainly Ambassador Sondland's testimony was stunning, to hear that the president directed the efforts and that everyone sort of in the foreign policy world within Trump's administration was, quote, in the loop. What you really have is a stunning ambition of something much more serious than even what the Iran-Contra affair was kind of all about, but also a series of ways in which, you know, sort of the top players are trying to create certain levels of denial around it. I mean, Ambassador Sondland was under oath yesterday. President Trump in the driveway was not.
So, I don't even know where to go with this. For people that didn't watch it, what in essence did Ambassador Sondland say that the involvement of the president was, the involvement of Rudy Giuliani was, et cetera, in the quid pro quo and investigating the Bidens in exchange for the release of military aid?
He said, yes, there was a quid pro quo. And he said that, quote, we followed the president's orders. He was very clear about the fact that Rudy Giuliani was leading an effort that was coordinated all throughout the administration by the president's chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, and by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and that he was engaged with those efforts and that this was a clear quid pro quo.
In terms of credibility, here's the question I have. The ambassador, was he under oath when he answered the questions or submitted his statement? I guess it was initially.
Yes, he was.
But then he remembered some things after he heard what some other people's statements contained, correct?
That's correct.
But then yesterday.
Also correct.
Go ahead.
I mean, let me just say it's also correct, as he admitted yesterday in his testimony, that he has no access to any of the materials, emails, phone records, you know, written documents that also spell out this timeline. If all of the president's actions and all of the government's actions are sort of free from any sort of wrongdoing, then the truth of the matter is the State Department should just turn over all of those documents to the congressional committee, and they haven't. They're refusing to do that, and they're also refusing to testify. And I think that it is very important to recognize that origins of sort of, you know, investigations are not important. This is something that the Republicans keep saying, but here's the reality. If, you know, there is a fire next door and you see a fire and somebody calls it in and they bring a fire department to put it out, you don't go after the person who reported the fire because they have their own criminal record. The truth of the matter is there is wrongdoing that has been going on. It is evident, and there is evidence of it. And I think what is problematic is that we keep hearing all of these obfuscations about why we shouldn't pay attention to it. This is a really important moment in our country, and this rises far above partisanship. And we need everyone in this country to sort of recognize that personal self-interest is not what should dictate foreign policy.
We're going to take a break here when we come back. I think my question about the ambassador was, he was under oath yesterday, and it seemed as though he forgot a lot. It was not so much about his testimony as about his original statement, because there were 23 pages, basically, Lara, of things that he forgot.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, 7:20. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation and also delve into the Democratic debate last night. And I think it all boils down to one thing. It's not necessarily who on the stage can beat each other. It's about who on that stage can beat President Trump. 7:21, time for traffic now on WWL. 7:25 now. If you go to WWL.com, you'll see a story. A headline says, precautionary boil water advisory issued for parts of New Orleans East. No, that is not a mistake. That is not the same story that was accidentally up there. It's another boil water advisory for parts of New Orleans East. Lara Brown's our guest, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University, talking about what happened on Capitol Hill yesterday with the impeachment hearings, and we'll also touch on a Democratic debate. So, Lara, in terms of the impeachment hearings, what happens next?
Well, what happens next is that we have two more individuals who are testifying today. Fiona Hill, who was the person who worked on Russia specifically. She was the envoy for Russia, I believe, is her title. And then David Holmes. And Holmes is the one who overheard the phone conversation that Ambassador Sondland had with President Trump while they were having a lunch, it appears. And Fiona Hill worked very closely with John Bolton, and so it is expected that Fiona Hill will kind of describe really the bigger picture about how all of this sort of meddling and putting Ukraine on the defensive and holding up their aid actually helped Vladimir Putin and Russia, because Russia is in fact fighting with Ukraine and has already taken over their Crimean Peninsula.
I saw an op-ed piece about the debate last night, and they said two things. One of them was that it didn't matter who could defeat each other last night. The only thing that mattered is who had a shot at defeating President Trump. And another op-ed I saw said that the end result of the impeachment hearings will be, it will be proved that President Trump did something wrong. And the second thing is that President Trump will be reelected. And I don't know that I can disagree with either one of those. And I'm not saying which one I want, which one I don't want. But would those be fair analyses?
Well, I think it's true that Democrats are highly focused on electability. We actually have public polling that shows that when you ask Democrats what they care about most, what they do care about most is beating Donald Trump. Electability is a strange concept that all of us political scientists sort of, you know, laugh at a little bit, because electability is a perception that you are electable. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are. And so oftentimes those individuals with the greatest name recognition are simply said to be the most electable, because people think, well, they're well known, so that will work out. The truth is there's a very, very high negative correlation between not knowing somebody and thinking that they'll lose. So what that means is you spend your time really arguing something that's just not a very good predictor at all. And what will happen likely is actually what happened in 2004. When John Kerry won Iowa, the Democratic Party believed he was then therefore electable, and he went on to become the nominee. And of course, there is a reality that he lost to President George W. Bush, but it is also true that was a close election, and it's also true that President Donald Trump is in a worse position than President George W. Bush was in 2004.
Thank you, Lara. I appreciate your time. Happy Thanksgiving if we don't talk to you. Somebody texted in and said, the president doesn't have a chance to have his side heard. The president's welcome to go testify whenever he wants. Taking a break right now, WWL First News.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.